Hello, everyone. You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard. And I am using holy water on you. Joining me, as always, is the boys. He is reading from sacred scriptures, Gamma.
Hello. The antelope finally let me go.
It was an antelope? That's what you chose?
Oh, it was an antelope, wasn't it? I forgot. I was like, what is he talking about? And he is burning sage as we speak. Sacro.
Also reciting the chants.
And in case you haven't figured it out by our introductions, today we are doing an episode on Exorcist manga. There is so many of these out there, and we chose three to discuss on today for Spooky Month. And the ones that we're going to be discussing are Blue Exorcist, Jujutsu Kaisen, and Chainsaw Man. All of these are different manga revolving around exorcists killing either demons or otherwise, you know, demon analogs. And I am kidding, just to put the panic into these guys.
I've seen all those.
Yeah, you literally made me go like, I just read the wrong stuff on purpose.
The antelope spit Gamma out, but it has now eaten Helix. So Helix won't be with us today, but it's okay. We're sending him good vibes. So with that being said, the anime that we're going to be discussing today are some new ones on the Jump Manga app. We are looking at Goku Rakugai. We are looking at Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi. And lastly, we're discussing one called Nue's Exorcist. And so before we begin, a couple of housekeeping matters. You can follow us on X at the battle phase. Go on there. Tell us which manga we should read next, which anime is your favorite, and what you would like to hear us discuss. A couple of episodes that we have in mind, coming up. Tell us your favorite tournament arc. And we'd love to hear yours before the podcast goes live. I forget that I'm not on YouTube anymore.
We should be on YouTube. That's the best platform. What do you mean?
I'm working on it. It's just YouTube content requires a lot of effort compared to I feel like effort. Podcasting for me is just like a better fit because I sit in front of a microphone and I talk with you guys, and to me that
there's a podcast app now on YouTube through YouTube Music. Yeah, you can act.
There is, but like you have to kind of like put a video to go along with it.
You don't need more, right?
Don't you?
No, I'm pretty sure you just upload it. Yeah, you just put a thumbnail on it or some sort of picture.
Oh,
just put
really?
Yeah.
Coming soon to YouTube podcast, the Battle Phase podcast. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Expansion. I guess I had heard that, that it was the case that Google Podcast was disappearing and it was going to be replaced with YouTube podcasts. And I had no idea that if that was already done or what was going on. But yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That's where we are.
I'm looking to add my own podcast because it would be connected to my YouTube channel. So it'd just be Sacro and then there'd be a podcast section you can click on. So I was hoping to start that whenever I could figure out what I want to podcast about.
There is so many things you can podcast about.
There's so many things that I need a guest because I can't do it by myself. That sounds not fun.
It does not sound fun. So let's get started with today's discussion. We all read up to chapters 10 of each of these, and the reason why I chose 10 is because typically about 10 chapters is what constitutes a volume of manga. So basically this is like a one volume review for each of them. It kind of gives you a small taste of what the anime is going to be like. Usually within these 10 chapters is when we have a lot of the setup. We meet the characters that we're going to be hanging out with. We meet what the bare minimum stakes are during this that are going to be in this story. We learn a little bit about the power system. We learn a little bit about the locations, about like the lore, just before things get a little too serious. The cool thing about it was that, you know, this at the time brought us current with Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi because that one only was 10 chapters long. The 11th chapter was released just recently. I just saw it on the Jump app. So I'm going to go catch up with that one after we're done discussing it here. But speaking of Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi, I figure why don't we get started by discussing that one? Let's see. So Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi is written by a mangaka known as... Shuichi Usui, and it follows the titular Kiyoshi, who is an exorcist in a world where demons are constantly attacking humans, and he is the strongest exorcist. A lot of people reference to the fact that he is the strongest in history. He is the strongest that there has ever been. And it's weird because he's so young. So he's like a new generation of exorcists. And before he even got to day one on the job, all of the higher-ups had already determined, oh my goodness, he is the strongest there has ever been. And he is so strong. Oh my God. And so after that, like, there's like a graduation ceremony. It's like, okay, you can go out and be an exorcist now. And we learn a little bit about him, including the fact that he's actually kind of awkward. He's an awkward guy. And, you know, like, he looks terrifying, right? Because, you know, like, during his training, I guess, he got all of these demon warding tattoos on him. So he always looks like a little bit of a tough guy, almost like a gangster. He's got all these piercings and he's got kind of like this resting tough guy face. But on the inside, he's just like a really, really shy guy, you know? So like on the outside, he looks like just like stone cold determined. But on the inside, he's like, oh my God, I'm way over my head. And it is one of the most hilarious manga that I've ever read, man. Like, I didn't know if I would like it going in, because at first, when you kind of look at it, the art is really simple. You know, it's a very, gosh, I don't want to say that it's rudimentary by no means. You know, it's just,
it reminds me of One Piece a little bit.
I was going to say, it's got a very cartoony art style, like a very lighthearted art style.
Bleach?
Like,
no, definitely more One Piece. And the eyes specifically are very round, all the characters.
They're spatters.
The demons Gamma, look like wait. Spatters. Okay, like, hear me out. The art reminds me of Soul Eater.
A little bit of Soul Eater, yeah, I can see that as well. But I definitely see just the roundness of the eyes and the way the characters are drawn. Some of the characters, at least, is very cartoony.
It looks very kid-friendly, is what I was going to say. You know, like, this is a very Tim Burton exorcist type thing, right? Like, it's not 100% scary, although there are some things that could be, like, construed as kind of horrific. But it's very lighthearted in general, you know? Like, it's almost like, I don't know, The Exorcist, but on Nickelodeon, right? Like, it's a little Danny Phantom, a little bit,
Danny
yes.
Phantom.
Just like anime-fied Danny Phantom, kind of.
Are there so many Exorcist stories in Japan, by the way? Because you listed three, and then we listed three, and then when I was going through the app, there was like six more trying to get my attention as I'm scrolling down.
My guess is...
There's a lot more, yeah.
And wait, there's
it's
more!
My guess that it's kind of like, because, you know, in essence, they're kind of like a very spiritual people. Like, the belief systems over there are very, like, connected with nature, sort of, you know? And, like, everything in nature kind of has, like, a spirit attached to it. You know, this is why you see shrines literally all over Japan, right? So, like, there's kind of, like, this spiritualism, like, kind of, like, intertwined with their culture. Whether people believe it or not, that's a different story. But it's definitely something that's, like, very traditional there. And I think that that's kind of where this kind of comes up, where it's like humans, like either finding balance with the spiritual things, or like finding a way to ward off the evil spirits that would otherwise harm them, so to speak.
Gotcha.
So Gamma, tell me what is your impressions of Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi based on what you've read?
Based on up to chapter 2, because that's what yes. Beast lets me read.
My gosh, go for it. Tell me, up to chapter 2, what is your
up to chapter 2, I was like, okay, this guy, for those that have seen, that have actually read the manga Opar Hunter, or actually known as 666 Satan, he reminds me of another character in there, a highly religious character, as a matter of fact, that has the same concept, all the rings and a cross. The difference is, this guy's a coward.
Yeah,
while the other one,
yeah, Kiyoshi's a little bit of a not like a coward, right? Because he does step up to the bat a lot.
Yeah, but, after he gets motivated, like
right,
he takes some deep breaths. A demon helps him.
He's a little timid, is what it is. It almost to me, it kind of feels like he has a little bit of performance anxiety. If that makes any sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Getting stage fright right there when the push comes to shove.
Right.
But in his case, he's been training ever since he was a kid. Or at least that's what he says.
No, and that's my favorite thing, right? It's my favorite thing because in that first chapter was so hilarious because we see like this just terrifying looking demon, right? Like it's possessing a teenage girl and it's just like got like mouth open, tongue hanging out. It looks horrible.
And he's just there sitting there
and
looking all serious. But then you read the lines, I'm scared.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the expectation subversion, right? Because it's like, so we are seeing this thing that 100% belongs in a horror manga, right? It is terrifying to look at. And Kiyoshi is just sitting at this table, just like eyes locked on it. And he's got like that resting stone cold demeanor, like, you know, almost like he's trying to scare it back, right? Mm-hmm. And the demon is not making a move. So for a second there, it's like it's working. And then we get into...
Okay, let's call your bluff. Come on.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, you know, like, you're a demon. Make the move. And it's so funny because once we get into his head and we realize that he's like, yeah, I'm just sitting here staring at it, but it's because I'm so terrified to move.
And I gotta pee.
And he's like, nobody told me demons were gonna be so scary. And it's like... Bro, like, what did your training look like if you didn't know that this is what they were going to look like? You're like, so I imagine that they had to exercise demons in the training, but I'm like, what kind of demons were you exercising, though? You know, like,
not only that, is the fact that he even exercised a demon without even noticing.
Mm-hmm.
He just got out after I got cool with you. I just took you out.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, the demons are like, wait a minute, why? Like, I'm just, like, wasn't I possessing the girl? I was like, yeah, but, you know, like, once we got cool with each other, I mean, this is like, yeah, this just gotta happen. I was like, this manga is so funny, dude, because it's like...
And they emphasize the Japan thing that you mentioned, too, with the public baths.
Right.
Because he's like, oh, I cannot even go to a public bath anymore
because
of this blasted tattoo.
Because of the demon warding tattoos. And, you know, like, when you look at him, like, because he's drawn kind of like one of those gangster characters, right? He looks very Yakuza because he's got, like, the cool hairstyle. You know, he's got, like, all the piercings. He's got tattoos. He looks like a stone-cold killer, but on the inside, he's...
And the 10 rings.
And the rings, right? He's got, like, a nice suit and the rings, but on the inside, he's just, like, a little shy boy, and it's so funny. You know, like, this is subversion of expectations, like, so hard. And I gotta tell you, one of my favorite parts is, you know, he's showing off his tattoos, right? You know, like, these are my demon warding tattoos, and on the back,
on
he's
the
got...
On the back, it says 666.
Yeah, he's got, like, Roman numerals on the back, like, 666, and he's like, I hate to break it to you, bud, but, like, one V followed by two I's, those are sevens. It's just like, oh my god.
Hey, honestly, that makes more sense though, because 777 is the Lord's number.
Right, right. We were discussing like Gamma's first impressions, and Gamma only got to chapter two, but like I was like,
wait,
if you got to chapter two, you got a lot of it, because this manga doesn't ease you into its world. It pretty much just goes pedal to the metal. This is what it is, and it's really funny.
It's One Punch Man the Exorcist.
It's One Punch Man the Exorcist.
And it's great.
It's so great. The difference is that, you know, like, Saitama is kind of like this serious deadpan character, and Kiyoshi emotes a lot. You know, he's a really emotional guy, but the thing is, it doesn't show on his face, you know, because he's...
Kiyoshi reminds me of King if we're talking One Punch Man.
Of King. Oh, gosh. I'm not that familiar with One Punch Man, so I don't know who that is.
The guy with the three scars on the face.
I'll have to go look him up because I'm still drawing a blank.
There's this guy called King, and every win that Saitama got, people think that King did it. And everybody goes like, oh, there's a King Angel. And you hear it. It's... Big dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, going nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
But what little you know is that that's his heart beating so fast because he's terrified. While he has that same face as Kyoshi.
And that's kind of like one of the beautiful things about this is that, you know, like he's kind of like he looks like he's just not afraid of anything. He looks like he's 100% locked in all the time. But on the inside, he's just like, he's such a nice guy. Like, so we were talking about the first chapter where the demon, you know, like once he leaves the girl, they just got to have like this father son heart talk, heart to heart, you know, like,
yeah, it was
like,
so I honestly wasn't sure what to expect when we first came into the story, but yeah, the very first chapter kind of sets it all up where you're like, here you go. This is it. Enjoy.
Yeah, this is it. Enjoy. You know, like this is an exorcist who is super awkward. He's the strongest. There's no questioning that. Like he takes out a demon lord in the first chapter.
He one-shots
but it. But he one-shots
it. And the demon lord is even going like, hold up, hold up. How is he this strong?
Yeah, but the thing is, he's also like a really nice guy because, you know, like we learned a little bit of lore about Demon World in this. And apparently, like, demons are just like regular dudes and like they don't possess people because they want to. Like, you know, they have jobs, right?
Yeah, the guy worked at a water place. He was like in finances or something in the water.
I know, right? Like one of the most mundane jobs ever. He looks just like a regular 9-to-5 businessman.
And like, possess this girl or die.
Yeah, and he is forced to possess a girl because like the demon lord said, like, okay, you're going to possess this girl because I'm a demon lord and I said so, do it or die. And he's like, I don't want to be here. And like, it's funny because even afterwards, like Kyoshi will be like, okay, I know that it's my job to exercise you, and just like in tears, like, but I can't exercise you, man. I got to know you, and you're a cool guy. It's just like, oh my god, dude, I did not know what to expect going into this manga, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever read.
It was very like, there was another series that did something similar to this, where he's like, no, man, you gotta kill me. It's the game. It's the game. You gotta play the game. You gotta kill me. He's like, no, I don't want to now. We're like, cool. And he's like, no, see, I get it. I've earned this. You've earned this. You're going to kill me. You're going to go your ways. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the show was, or anime or manga or whatever it was.
Okay, now I want you to find out because I want to read it.
I don't think it's a manga. I think it's a TV show or something.
Definitely got
to. I'll look it up. I'll find it.
Sacro, so Gamma told us his impressions on it. I would love to hear your thoughts on it. You got all the way up to chapter 10. So you got further than I did. Or no, you didn't get further than I did. You and I got to the same exact place. And I'm interested to see your thoughts on a couple of things that Gamma doesn't know about. And we'll try to keep it as spoiler-free as possible.
Oh, I don't want to spoil it. This is so good, though.
No, I mean, go ahead, tell me.
But so, even for the audience, hey, spoiler warning, we might be discussing some plot elements. I should say this. It doesn't feel like the plot advances too much within this first couple of chapters. There's things that happen, but like it doesn't feel like we are in an overarching plot yet. So, Sacro, go ahead, take it away.
Well, the story starts pretty semi-stock standard for like half a second before taking on its like more comedic elements, which I liked. Mm-hmm. I've seen plenty of stories about exorcists at this point. This is probably my 7th exorcist anime manga story I've read. I'm actually really big into paranormal stuff, so like this doesn't... It just felt like something I'd read before, but I was immediately excited once the humor kicked in and he just was like... Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, cool. Look at these things I got on my back and they're the wrong numbers. That's crazy. And he's fighting a guy with a pocket square. Like, it just immediately sets off like, okay, cool. Let's go. And then by the time we get to chapter, I think it's 3 or 4, I was immediately in chapter 1. So I just was enjoying reading it the entire time. My wife's watching Bob's Burgers on the couch and I'm just like reading this manga, laughing at it. And she's like, oh yeah, Bob's Burgers is pretty funny. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, Bob's Burgers is hilarious. And like, just scrolling, like enjoying the story a lot. Chapter 10 is kind of a filler when I think about it.
A little bit, yeah. Let's see. Character wise,
I say characters is the next area to go into.
We kind of have like a lot of your a lot of characters. There's a big cast of them, right? So we have an organization of exorcists, firstly, and we know that like some of them are very gung-ho, kill all demons on sight, right?
Yeah.
And Kiyoshi kind of takes a different approach to it because he, firstly, because he's kind of not cowardly, but like a little bit like low motivation, almost like he doesn't believe in himself, despite the fact that he's the strongest. But like he also kind of like has this I don't know, this tendency to kind of like get to know them first and kind of like understand like, well, are you a bad guy? If you're a bad guy, I'll deal with you. But if you're a good guy, I don't see why I should give you any trouble, right? There is a series of chapters later on where we meet a kid who has a demon lord attached to him that he calls like Joe Jack or Jack Joe
Joe, which is a hilarious name. I thought Japan probably thought it was the funniest sounding thing ever, but it is. They're right.
No, they're 100% right. Yeah, so like Jack Joe, and this guy's a demon lord, but the thing is, whenever he left the demon realm and came to this world, he like lost his memories and just kind of got attached to this kid, and they grew up just being best friends, right?
So it's a really good story. Yeah, Gamma, wait till you get to it. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's really good. So, you know, like whenever Kiyoshi kind of meets them, you know, at first he's like, oh shit, demon. But then he's like, oh, He's a good guy. I don't need to exercise him. He's all right. You know, like, I'm just going to keep an eye on him. You know, like, if he steps out of line, then whatever, right? I'll do what I have to do. But, like, right now, him and this kid, man, this is a friendship for the ages. I'm not going to mess with them.
So what do you think of Akari?
Akari. I was going to get to Akari. Okay. So we have a couple of characters, right? So we have, like, the mentor character who Kiyoshi goes to work with. And I forget his name. I want to say that his name is Sakaki.
Which Sakaki? One is
that? The old guy that has the whole cross with
oh,
the
he's gone already.
No, the guy who owns the restaurant.
Yeah,
that owns the Chinese restaurant
that he tried to make fail, but it became even more popular.
Yeah,
I haven't even.
Dude, it's so fun. Like,
yeah, so it is Sakaki. I'm actually looking at the page right now. So we have Mr. Sakaki, who is a little bit of like your mentor character, and much like most mentor characters that I've seen in like a lot of manga, like say for example Naruto, he seems like a Kakashi type character that he seems kind of like, I don't care, you know,
he
like
actually
really
reminds
laid back.
Me of okay, so the guy in Bleach who's best friends with Yoruichi,
Urahara,
he's a Urahara character for sure.
Absolutely. Ooh, okay. Yeah, so he seems like really laid back, like super chill dude, almost like a guy you would like want to have a beer with, right? But like there is a chapter that are within the first 10 where he kind of like shows really like how much of a badass he could potentially be. He doesn't do a lot, but he does enough so that people stop and take notice. So it's like,
there's a type of character that has his eyes closed.
No.
And then whenever he gets seriously,
no, he's no, wearing literally an oversized t-shirt with random words written on it. He just looks like some guy's older brother who gave up in high school.
Yes.
Made it to college, like, but did not try even there either.
Perfect description. Like, he looks like a guy who just kind of like decided to coast through life a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, yeah, I don't want to get too serious. You know, like, if I get a career, then I can't go surfing whenever I want, right? Like that's the kind of guy that he kind of like gives you the vibes of.
There's a line where they mention that all of the top people even recognize him. They even put respect on him. So it's like, oh, he's must be insanely strong then.
Yeah, but it is kind of like a thing. He does have like a reputation for being like extremely strong. So in technical terms, he kind of falls into that kind of archetype of like a mentor who probably in the past was just like absolutely just insanely strong. And then he decided that, you know, like the line of work was just too much and he decided to just have a simpler life. You know what I mean?
The reason I already have ideas about why and where the story is going. I don't know if you want to say that for the end or...
We can save it for the end. So we were going to discuss other characters. Akari is the other girl. She is an exorcist who's going to be working with Kiyoshi, kind of like a partner type.
Mm-hmm.
And she is probably the weakest exorcist.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a joke that they keep making. It's like, oh, you are not strong at all. So, you know, like we have Kiyoshi, who is the strongest. And then we have Akari, who, no.
Yeah.
You know, and... she has one really unique skill, and you guys know what an ahoge is. It's the hair that some anime characters have that's like the single hair that sticks out on top of their head. So her ahoge stands perfectly straight up whenever demons are nearby, and it's just like a really weird talent that she has.
She used it once. A radar. But, yeah, she's basically a radar. It's like a dish.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of funny, you know, like, so she's there, and the whole thing is she works at the Chinese restaurant with them, and other than that, she just seems like a really upbeat character. Like, she knows she's the weakest, but she's not going to let that slow her down, right? Like, she's still going to try, you know, so she's kind of like this ray of sunshine that you kind of pair up with Kiyoshi, who is, like, not that social and kind of shy and, like, you know, like, really timid.
I related to him almost immediately with the whole shyness bit, because I grew up very shy. So
same.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this guy's cool. We're cool. Same. We're cool.
And that doesn't shine. That shines the brightest whenever he meets the next character that we're going to discuss, which is Nihon. Zanzugawa, which is the kid who has the demon attached to him, Jackjo. And Nihon is just like the nicest guy, right? It's just like, hey, Kiyoshi, you spent basically like the Mr. Sakaki, like, Kiyoshi, you know what? You spent all your childhood training to be an exorcist. I want you to go to high school, make some friends, get a girlfriend, you know, like live a normal kid life. And, you know, Kiyoshi at first is like, what? I came here to be an exorcist. But then eventually he's like, you know what? Yeah, I can just go to high school, just be a normal kid. And immediately meets this kid who's just like the nicest kid ever, like Nihon. Nihon, super cool kid, very friendly. And Kiyoshi, you know, him and Nihon become super fast friends. And it's kind of funny to see the story from inside Kiyoshi's head, because he's got that internal monologue that all shy people have, where they're like, should I play this cool? How do I... How do you respond so that people won't think you're weird? You know, like, how do we be friends? How do I do that? And, you know, if you're a person who's, you know, who's on the shy side, you'll click with Kiyoshi immediately. And Nihon feels to me like that extrovert friend that every shy person has that just says, we're friends now, you know?
We all need one.
Yeah, the one that actually ends up breaking the shell of shy people.
Yeah.
And introducing you to new people, really.
Yeah. And, of course, we have Jackjo, who is a demon king. Who is just like, I don't know, like, kind of like a fun guy, you know, like Jackjo is always laughing, always having fun. I keep thinking to myself, I'm like, man, he reminds me of somebody, but I don't know who. There is characters like this in anime who like are always hanging out with one other guy, and they're like the life of the party, right? They're like the overly excitable one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I can't place the character type. I, for some reason, my brain went to... you guys seen Regular Show?
Yes.
You know the ghost that hangs out with...
High Five Ghost?
High Five Ghost. Not the same, but he's like the hype man, you know? He's always there.
Yeah, Jackjo is a hype man, absolutely. And here, I'm going to... Gamma, you haven't seen him, but like this is them. This is Nihon and Jackjo. But yeah, you know, like this is basically like the gang coming together. So we have Mr. Sakaki, we have Kiyoshi, we have Nihon, and we have Jackjo. There's another guy who works at the Chinese restaurant, but he didn't really make that big of an impression on me. And then we have the rivals, the other people at the Exorcist Academy who are coming to kill demons. And I get the feeling that we're gonna, and now we can enter into like the discussion of where we think the series is going.
Cool. Okay, so with what you just said, that's like Bleach.
Wait, which part?
Like, hey, the guys that are just going straight up killing spirits with their bows and arrows.
Oh, Quincy's.
What they are? Yeah, the Quincy's, and the spirit people that don't kill all the demons.
It's not quite related, but I do get the idea of it.
I see where you're coming from, but yeah, it is a little different because it's almost like they're two different species, right? Like humans and demons.
Well, they are.
And so, yeah. No, I hear you. So, like, they're a different species, humans and demons, but it's almost like they're two different species that don't know that they can cohabitate. It's almost like there are those on both sides who are looking to instigate war because they don't know how to get along. Whereas, you know, there are examples like this one, Nihon and Jackjo, that show us that it is 100% possible for like these spirits and humans to just get along together. And I honestly think that that's probably where the series is going. It's too early to tell. It's 11 chapters long, but like this was the vibe that I was getting from it. It's like, you know, you can't judge someone by the way they look, because if you did, then you'd assume Kiyoshi was a gangster, but on the inside, he's not. He's anything but.
He's also 16. Is no one looking at that weird to have tattoos at 16?
Right. And then you have like things like Jack Joe and the demon from the first chapter, you know, who are like really chill dudes. But like the Exorcist world would have you believe that they were terrifying and they were out to kill you. Some of them are, not all of them, you know, so it's almost kind of, I feel like that's where the series is going.
I think that there might be a plot twist with Jack Joe, though.
There is. Please read up to chapter 10. My God.
I mean, you picked up on this. That's...
It's locked.
you picked up on it.
I don't know how, because you haven't read the character yet, but that's cool.
I know. He's like, I feel like there's a plot twist with Jack Joe. There is.
I'm like, okay, this sounds like a plot I've seen somewhere else.
That's a big thing with manga. Since I've been reading so many more with you guys. There's just so many plot pieces and stuff that's just taken from other stories. And they're like, I'm going to repurpose this. This is mine now.
I mean, it's the superhero genre, right? You have your origin story. You have your arch nemesis. You have, like, what you stand for and what as a superhero makes you stand out, right?
This is my ninja, my ninja way.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, but it's like, it feels more abundant in manga than in, like, the superhero stories. There's so many superheroes now that you could read that are completely different from each other in every way, shape, or form. Maybe that wasn't the case back in like the 50s and stuff when you read them, but it feels like manga has always stuck to that. They like tropes and they like to use those tropes. They see somebody else do something cool and they're like, oh, I'm using that now. And they pluck it up and they put in their story.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you. And I'll say this, what I enjoy about that is that it is seeing how an author takes a trope and makes it their own. Because you're right, a lot of these things kind of follow like, you know, some formula sometimes. And, you know, like if something works, then absolutely use it, right? But like the thing is, put your own spin on it, put your personality on it, make it your own. And some authors are really good about doing that. But some of them feel so paint by the numbers that, like, I feel like that's usually the manga that I struggle to get through. You know, it's like when I'm like, this is a story I've seen a million times in the past. You know, like, if the only thing that's different about your manga is that the character looks different, then why should I care, you know?
Or, like, it's...
Yeah, you usually get a problem with overpowered characters anyways. And I'm amazed that you actually like this manga.
I like it whenever, like, you know, whenever it's not like we're trying to be really serious about it, right? Like, there is so much isekai out there where they're like, no, we're playing it 100% serious. We're playing it like a cancer diagnosis, you know, like, this is no joke. But they're doing that, and it's like, your character is the most overpowered person in this entire plot. Like, you know, at this point, why do I care, right? Whenever it's played for laughs, like an Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi, I think it's great. You know, like, I love having, like, a super powerful character who is timid or shy or clumsy, you know?
Or dumb.
Like, or dumb, you know, just, like, really put a spin on it to make me find this interesting or endearing. But, yeah, you're right. You know, I don't like overpowered characters, you know? Like, your story has to be really good for me to be like, I don't care that the character's overpowered.
Yeah. The Mashal effect. The One Punch Man effect.
The Mashal, One Punch Man. Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi. All of those are really good examples.
Still thinking to do a Mashal episode.
We have to do a Mashal episode. And now that I know that you've read Blue Exorcist, we have to do a Blue Exorcist episode. That,
I mean,
manga
I'm
was
down,
so good.
Man. Also, we're not talking about the anime. Dude,
That manga was slept on. I was like, I can't believe that nobody talks about this.
Because the anime. The anime ruined the hype.
Sacro.
I was going to say.
Bart and I were talking about Blue Exorcist for hours.
We were.
I believe you guys.
Like, they killed it.
Yeah, like, we were at it for hours just talking about, like, the anime just massacred my boy. Like, this is so bad. But any last thoughts on Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi?
I wish it was longer. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all you got? Did you have any expectations of where the anime is going to go?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that part. I'm pretty sure it's going to be like him trying to convince the human/exorcist world that not all demons are bad, which is a very common trope. Actually, it's an insanely common trope. I've seen it in like 3 mangas I've read this year. Sure, I don't mind it. It's whatever. It's a device at this point. At this point, it's so ingrained in the stories I've read and the worlds that I've played through in games and movies and stuff. It's just, okay, cool. Skipped it. What's next? What are we doing next? What are we doing with that?
Right, right.
It just doesn't matter.
I'm 100% with you. I think it's good. Really enjoy the humor in it, and I think I'm going to try to stick with it. You know, like, it's all, like I said, it's only 11 chapters. I could 100%, you know, stay up to date with this one.
Oh, I will.
My thoughts about it is, so far it kind of gave me the vibes also of Constantine. Like I mentioned before.
You're right. And I can't believe we didn't talk about this.
Oh, we
did
mention
Gamma, please.
Regarding the Constantine looks, you know, if you watch the movie Constantine, or at least read some of the stuff Constantine related, mm-hmm. whenever he does the cross, it's almost like Constantine whenever he puts both his forearms together just to do an exorcism. That's the vibes that it gives me sometimes. And the fact that he has to cast some spells. I didn't get too far, so I only got to chapter 2. And based also from what you're saying, Jack Joe gives me the vibes that he might have been the demon that he fears from the childhood. And he just has some amnesia, and then he's going to recover his memories later on and become a total menace. Mm.
Very interesting.
This is some delicious chicken.
I love how Gamma's just like, oh man, like, let me tell you what I think is happening. And I've read what happens, and I was like, ah, okay.
I mean, some of that's interesting to think about, but I never made the Constantine like reference myself. I'm a huge DC fan, but I've never read Constantine, so.
It does feel like it has some Constantine imagery, especially when you look at the rivals, right? Because like the rivals have like that a little bit of like that mentality, like, you know, almost like I'm smarter than you, and I will play my hand really close to the chest, and ultimately I'll use my wits to outsmart you, or my strength to overpower you, sort of like that. There's not a lot that kind of talks about, like, you know, Constantine kind of has like this almost like you can't trust a word he's saying. I didn't feel like there was any characters in this that weren't wearing exactly who they were on their sleeve, you know?
Jack Joe, from what you tell me, that's Jack Joe,
right? See, this
is
funny to me, because like I said, Sekiro and I have gotten to chapter 10, and we know what Jack Joe's deal is. So.
The funniest thing for me here is that every time we've read a manga, Gamma's usually like 6,000 chapters ahead of me. And so he's always like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. And I'm like, all right. This time I can be like, oh, that's funny, Gamma. Guess what? I read.
It is pretty great. I love it.
How does
pretty
it
good.
Feel, Sekiro?
It's a good story.
How does it feel to actually know?
Good.
I'm only like
I'm
5 chapters
lie.
Ahead of you, or 8.
No, like 8 chapters.
Right. So, let's see. Next up, let's discuss Goku Rakugai.
Dummy mommy.
That's the phrase that you want to start with here.
we're going to get to this. So, Goku Rakugai is basically a rough translation of Goku Rakugai is Paradise District. And it's one of those, basically one of those manga that's named after the location where it takes place, right? So it's about this pair of troubleshooters that's their official job title, that people come to them with requests for like odd jobs and they do them. The two main characters are Alma, a redheaded boy who is kind of lively and excitable, and Miss Tao, a woman of very few words who is a heavy smoker and kind of has this look like she's seen a lot and lived through a lot. We come to find out pretty early on that there is these things which have the most hilarious names. we have these monsters that come from an extra dimension called Magas. And
that's a great name, okay. I saved some screenshots of it. Because it's like, the Makas are invading. I'm like, they already here, friends.
Oh, like, you know, I read that manga before that even before that thing became a thing. And now I'm like, I cannot
it's
read it.
It's such a funny name to be related to, sadly related to American nonsense.
It's so funny. But anyway, so Makas are, they appear to be some kind of like monstrous entities. And we discover through the first couple of 10 chapters, again, spoiler alert, that Makas are created from reanimated corpses. So our duo of troubleshooters usually take on jobs involving this supernatural element in this place that seems to be based kind of like off of Hong Kong. One of the most beautiful things about this manga is the location artwork. They take 100% care to make it look as thriving and lived in as kind of like if you've ever seen like a Hong Kong action movie. That's what this manga reminded me a lot of. There seems to be some hidden past about our main characters, Miss Tao and Alma, that isn't outright discussed. It's almost like there's still an element of mystery to it within the first 10 chapters. So I might go into some speculation about that. But I don't think that we have enough information within the first 10 chapters to actually get like a good read on it. It seems like that our troubleshooters are also part of a larger organization. We meet a couple of characters along the way who seem to be providing them with like intel and a little bit of like monetary backing for their exploits.
A little bit of monetary backing.
Quite
a lot of monetary right. backing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we meet a fairy.
Yeah, so there appears to be animal human like anthropomorphical anthro animals in this manga. So there's a guy who's like a Siberian husky dude. In the first chapter, we meet a cat boy, you know, so like there's anthro animals here and they're just part of the world, right? A little akin to original Dragon Ball where you just had dog people walking around, right? And like dinosaurs and stuff. Yeah. So,
well, there is also like some sort of like class system set up. I think they're called beastals. And immediately they're like, yeah, don't be friends with them or don't hang out where areas where beastals hang out. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. We're going to get some sort of class racism divide thing here going on. Later, at least.
It feels like you're right. 100%. I 100% agree with you. I think you're right. And it's a little bit like more of the lore of the world, right? So with that said, we read the first 10 chapters. My initial take on it is I feel like, okay, and this might be just like the absolute most obvious thing, but I feel like Alma is some kind of Maga. Like they mentioned it several times that he's part Maga. I don't know what that means, but like to me, it feels like if they are made from reanimated corpses, then whatever magic is used for that, like, didn't 100% take with him. Like, either he wasn't all the way dead when it was used to like reanimate him, or whatever that looks like, right? But he has Maga powers, and he seems to kind of like be bound to Miss Tao in a way. I can already hear Gamma laughing.
Yeah.
He seems to be bound to Miss Tao and kind of like in the same way that like you see in other manga where like a demon makes a contract with a human in that Alma is basically under Miss Tao's command. He can't fight unless she says that it's cool. And usually she has to give him the command to go ahead and release whatever weapon he's going to be using. She is actually the biggest element of mystery within our main characters, because she doesn't say a lot, but she carries herself with kind of like this hardened street wisdom, almost like, you know, she has been around the block more than enough times to know what to expect. But she also seems to be like a really kind person. But like, you know, that level of like hard kindness that is born from somebody who suffered a lot. Like, you know, she's not going to tell you that you shouldn't do something, but she will give you kind of like a fair warning. Like, hey, you know what, if you are not prepared for this, or if you're going to do this, you should expect the following. All of that being said, so we have our setting, we have our characters. My personal favorite thing about this manga is the art. like I said, it reminds me a lot of a Hong Kong action flick. It's the settings are very vibrant. They're very lived in. There's so much detail in every panel. And the characters look amazing. The use of screen tones in this is just phenomenal. I like the lighting, the shading, the gray values. It is fantastic. Every piece of clothing has all kinds of detailing on it. They're like, you know, for example, frills and latches and like drawstrings, all kinds of things. You know, like characters are adorned like top to bottom. I mean, they got that drip. You know what I mean? So it's mm-hmm. really, really good. So yeah, first takes, guys. Let's hear it.
You want to go first, Gamma?
Well, I'm the one that is on the latest chapter, oh, okay. So I want to go last.
I didn't like it. So, I'll start there. The parts I did like was the art. That's pretty much it. Mm. The backgrounds looked phenomenal. Although I kind of skipped over a lot of them because, you know, I got to read the story. I have to finish it. It was the first one I read out of the three. So it was the one I was wanting to read the most, which is why I put it in the first. Mm-hmm. So like, all right, cool. Let me read this. And, I don't know. What's her name? The main girl whose name I'm forgetting. I had it up in my...
Miss Tao?
She's...
Tao?
All right. I never liked smoking characters. I don't know something about them. She's got mob boss energy. So like, she's a female mob boss.
She's got mob boss energy. Yes.
So like, she's fine. She's whatever. I didn't start liking the story or I guess enjoying it because before that I was just kind of reading it because it was for this thing until around around chapter 5 when they bring up the one girl that he becomes friends with. I love conflicting characters. Oh, go ahead, Bard.
No, so just to add a little bit of clarity and spoiler alert, this is one of the story arcs that we reach within the first 10 chapters. There is a character who Alma becomes friends with who's fighting off her MAGA impulses. Because she is a newly made one and one that can pass for human. And her impulses are to eat people.
Yeah.
And Alma kind of becomes friends with her and he's none the wiser about what she is. So, you know, the entire time that they spend together, she's tried to fight off her impulses to eat people. And Alma just thinks that she's got something else going on. You're like, hey, you got trouble at home or like... Like, you know, you got too much on your mind, too much on your plate, you know, like, let's hang out, let's have some fun, try to smile. Yeah. So that's basically what Sakura's referring to.
Yeah. This girl. So she's, she was like, I was like, okay, cool. You know, I can kind of get into the story a little bit now with her character because I just did not care for Alma. He's just so boring. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets better later. I can hear Gamma already over there typing in his brain about what he's going to say, but
I haven't.
So like he's just there. I don't know, it's only 10 chapters, so maybe he gets better, but like chapter 1 I loved the other manga, which is not what I expected. This one it took about 5 chapters before I was like, okay, cool, I'm kind of getting into the story, the rhythm. Mm-hmm. the monsters look very much like Hollows, which is fine
a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can, yeah, you know, like it's kind of hard to define, like, you know, what makes a monster. So I can see the Bleach parallels. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit of Bleach parallels, which is fine because Bleach is a good ish story. I don't know.
It's so good. They had to tell it twice, you know, like once with the Soul Society arc and then again with Wakamundo. It was great.
We can talk about Bleach all day, but I like the animal people. I like Nay. I liked her a lot. I thought she was cool. I like her personality, her reasons for doing things. Did not get emotional. What's her name? I don't want to spoil anything, but we are spoiling things. The girl dies.
Yeah,
Kanata is her name. Like, she's got a cute design. Right. She's mm-hmm. fighting with herself to become a monster. She eventually does become one. I do like that she was killing only bad people with her abilities.
Right.
Very Edward Cullen from Twilight. Terrible comp. But that's what it is.
I was going to say Dexter.
Or Dexter. Well, I don't know which Dexter, one of them did it first, but one of them did it first. Probably even before that, actually. Somebody was doing that. But yeah, he would go around killing only serial killers. And because he had to drink blood, obviously, so he was killing serial killers. So this girl's only killing bad men for other things, which these shows always have a ton of. Manga is like, there's like, you know what? There's a lot of bad men out there. Here you go. Yeah. Kill them all.
So, men are bad and they will hurt you.
Yeah, basically, it's an awful story device that all these stories always use. But yeah, I was enjoying the characters, but I did not like the story overall. I don't know if I'll continue reading it once it's done. Maybe I will, or once we're done with this, but I don't know, man. It's just so generic.
And to respond to you, I 100% agree with you a little bit. 100% agree with you a little bit. I 80% agree with you. 80%. So the way that I see this is that there's obviously like some kind of mystery that they're building towards. And I kind of have the feel. Did you guys ever read Get Backers?
No.
Sadly, oh, man. No. Get Backers was so good. And Get Backers is the vibe that I was getting from this. We got two people with a past that they don't talk about who became friends basically by circumstance. And now they work together because they're the only person that can understand the other, right? And they take on odd jobs just trying to live a normal life despite where they came from. The mystery, obviously, is for you got a couple of ones that are working in the background. What are MAGAs? Who's making them? And how do these two fit into that puzzle? And so, like, the problem with, like, the burden that a mangaka that's writing this kind of mystery has to carry is that you have to answer enough questions that you kind of keep us, you know, on the, you know, chewing at the bit to get more. But at the same time, you can't give away the whole mystery. And I feel like where Sakura kind of, like, didn't click with this one is that the mangaka was setting up too many questions but not giving us enough answers or not giving them to us fast enough.
I just didn't care I felt about that, all of them. So that's
which
kind of
is
it.
What I feel. I feel that's kind of where I was, you know, where I was like, okay, we're 10 chapters in and we have all these questions, but we have nothing to go on, not even a little clue to kind of like keep us guessing. And maybe I'm just bad at this because, you know, like there have been times when I've read manga and there was a mystery at play. And when you go back and you read it again, you're like, oh, of course, it was obvious. Here's the hints. But like, you know, the first time around, you're like, I didn't get a single one. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I hear that you don't like Amma. Amma's kind of childish. To me, he reminded me a little bit of like Kid Goku. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Kid Goku is like a literal kid. This guy's like 16.
Yeah, Kid Goku's a little kid. Almost 16. I'm going to attribute his childishness a little bit to maybe when he was made half MAGA, it just kind of did something to him and kept him in a perpetual childish state.
Sorry, he's 15. I just looked up this thing. I don't want to go too deep. I don't know. He just didn't really interest me. There is some good to it that I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of the creatures and how they come to be. Mm-hmm. Don't need to explain that to me. Like, I'm cool with just them existing. I like that he's half. That's a very, very, very overused trope. But whatever. It's there. Like, oh, I'm a half vampire who fights other vampires. A blade. I'm a half this or that. I fight my own kind because they're evil. I'm half demon. Inuyasha.
Danny Phantom.
I could go off. The list is way longer than that. But
right. I mean, like, it's a very common thing. I love in Danny Phantom specifically where there was one episode where somebody goes like, oh my gosh, you're the fabled ghost kid. You're a halfa. And he's like, a halfa? He's like, yeah, you're half ghost, half kid. I was like, oh my God.
I'm using that in my story that I'm writing now. The halfa? That's a great name. That's a terrible name, actually.
I know. I was like, that's so terrible, but it's so funny. Because, you know, like, as a person who consumes a lot of media, I understand, right? But at the same time, I'm like, normally you give these things cooler names, right? It's just like...
It's hard to come with cool names. I literally was like, what do I call these people who are half human, half the species I created that fights?
Just 100% like unironically call them half as dude. I would read that story so hard.
I was calling them halves, which my wife was like, that's a terrible name. I'm like, I know, it's a placeholder. And so, it's 50 pages in, by the way. Hit your bookshelf maybe in like 10 years. I have no idea. But there was one aspect I liked. The enemy people were really cool and interesting.
Dude, there is an entire page where they introduced one guy in particular. I think his name was, what, Yore?
Yoru,
right. So
the guy that Alma befriends, right?
No, so Alma befriends the guy.
Yoru's the guy who kind of looks like every K-pop, J-pop idol that's in like a romance TV show. He got like the earrings and the neck band and got the K-pop haircut, you know, where it's like cut down the middle.
Oh, he, that guy.
Yeah.
He looks like light. In the panel where he first shows up, firstly, the art was phenomenal. Just like firing on all cylinders. It was so good.
At the temple,
but
right?
Secondly, he looked to me like Light Yagami from Death Note. Like the art style, just to me, he looked exactly like that. You know, like there's this very particular scene in Death Note where Light is being smug inside of his own head and his eyes squint just so that he's like looking down on people. And I felt like Yoru caught that look like perfectly. I was like,
that's what Light does the entire thing, just looking down on people. So,
right. And it also, like, it was framed that way because the guy that Alma befriended, the one who he ended up sharing a taiyaki with, I forget his name, but he was sitting on a park bench.
You're talking about Yoru. You're not talking about the other guy.
I'm talking, Yoru's a different guy.
I
don't even know anymore.
Okay, hold on. There's a lot of Y names. I'm looking at the list right now. There's a lot of Yomi, Y names. There's Yoru, there's Yoki, there's Yaya. And there's Yuki Naru Nishi.
Too many ones.
You're talking about Yomi, by the way. That's the guy you're thinking of. He's a leader.
Yomi
is the guy?
Yeah,
the leader.
The K-pop guy I was talking about, where he's got the neck like scarf thing on, the earrings, and he chokes women.
Yeah, that guy.
Right. The guy who chokes women, yes.
Yeah, I was like, you're talking about the same guy? Hold on, let me look at this guy again real quick.
So Yoru is the guy on the park bench. Yomi is the guy who looks like Light Yagami. And let's see, whenever he's first introduced, the art on it was phenomenal, incredible. I can't praise it enough. That said, when the way that it's framed is that Yoru is on the park bench and Yomi is looking down at him. So like it also had like that bit of framing where it's like, we know this is a bad guy, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, really, really good. I feel like there's a soft element of magic going on in the background of this and we just do not know enough about it. All right, Gamma, your turn.
All right. So that way you guys feel sorry for that girl. I got a little spoiler for y'all.
How little is
the Gamma's powers are defined by the way they die.
The Maga's powers are defined by the way they die? Interesting. So she died because somebody ate her?
Yep.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Weird.
Carry on.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, just like that guy with the necklace that chokes people.
Mm-hmm. He's wearing a choker.
He hung himself.
Oh, I gotta guess that.
And spoiler, keep reading, Bar. That's a key guy over there.
Got it.
That's as far spoiler-wise as I'm going to go. Okay, the system is pretty interesting, though. There's a system that they just go like, hey, go hunt down this bat monster. We're going to pay you for it. And they get a pay for that information with their information broker. Miss Tao takes advantage of the guy, though. Going like,
deserved,
hey,
honestly.
You got a crush on me.
Deserved.
Give me the info.
She does kind of take advantage of him because, you know, she is hot and he likes her. So, I mean, like, there is that.
Yep.
I think he likes all women, to be honest.
He does. To your point, Gamma, like, this kind of, like, added to the little bit of, like, the Hong Kong underground vibe that I was getting from it. Because it's like, we have a guy who deals in information. And we have these guys who pay for that information in either with money or other ways. And, you know, like, this guy... He's an ally, quote unquote, but he's also not an ally because if you want something, you have to pay for it. So it's kind of like that. Right. And Miss Tao, like Sacro said, she looks like a mob boss too. So there's that. And
well, that's the thing though. Mm-hmm. She wasn't always like that.
Well, obviously, like you have to like grow into that, into your image. No. Nobody's born him. I mean, that question. I mean, because like, what happens whenever it's a family thing? I think you are born into those.
Yeah, but the kids of mob bosses always end up sucking in the storylines.
I don't want to give spoilers.
Okay.
Too many spoilers.
Gamma, first 10 chapters, my man. Just you can do it. I believe in you.
Because I'm like, okay, y'all like the husky guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like him. Do not like that husky guy.
That just means he dies. Don't say that.
No, 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 no.
That's worse. That means that he's
against
us.
It's not that he dies. It's that he's giving y'all the wrong impression that he's overly friendly and caring. Past chapter 10, You're going to see his true colors at one point, and you're going to go like, why didn't we keep him looking like this?
Gamma, like,
such a badass.
First 10 chapters, my man. Like, come on.
Wait, you,
that's the only thing that I regret.
You just said he looks like a badass?
First 10 chapters. Yeah, he was a badass.
Oh, that doesn't change anything.
No, that doesn't change anything. No, but secondly,
looks-wise and the way that he acts and commands people, total badass. He's not like a softy going like, hey, I worry about you.
But well, firstly,
the way you phrased that, it scared me, though.
Yeah, same.
I'm like, oh, he's dead. Cool.
If I can say something about this, I absolutely 100% loved that he was such a caring guy. Like, there was that one panel where, like, Nay comes in after doing a job, and then both the husky guy and the other girl that's always working with him just come up and hug her. I was like, we worry about you. I was like, this is so adorable. I love this. I want a story about those two.
What is her name? I liked her design, but I can't find her on here.
Oh, God. Was it Dara? I think it was Dara.
I also like the fact that Alma works at the restaurant, too, to pay up for all his work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the food that he eats over there. And he just makes Chinese food over there with the little girl and the main cook.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, hold on. Right. This is the second story that centers around a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, holy cow. I didn't even notice that.
Does the third story also have a Chinese restaurant? I didn't finish it.
No.
Oh, cool. Oh
my God, you guys ran up to chapter 10 and didn't even know
that. No, I didn't. But anyway, carry on.
Yeah, I'm not even spoiling anything. This is within the first 10 chapters.
No, of course. But like, anyway, like you were telling us about your impression within the first 10 chapters without giving us any spoilers.
Actually, all I've got is spoilers.
All I've gotten is spoilers, too. I'm trying to, like, ask him to stop doing that.
Well, I like the fact that Alma is, like, a play on words. For the Hispanic speakings, they'll be going like, oh.
Literally all three of us.
His name is Soul.
Very
for
cool.
The Spanish speakers among us, literally all three of us.
Yeah. His name is Soul.
Yeah.
That's cool. And he takes a steak from his heart.
Right.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. And he needs Miss Tao to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
Which she's unlike him. From what we know up to chapter 10, she's a regular human. And she uses special bullets.
Yeah, made from his blood because he's half MAGA. Yep. So like the blood is better for shooting them.
We're shooting the MAGA now.
Every time that you say MAGA, I want to go like, let me go ahead and get the hat.
Oh, my God.
Get a hat. You know, yep.
He's half MAGA killing MAGA. That's almost all we had, actually.
So I do want to say one thing about this is I mentioned that the art was phenomenal in this, and I keep talking about like just the backgrounds and like, you know, just the attention to detail. But there's one thing I've been kind of neglecting mentioning, and Sacred kind of brought it up a second ago. Can we talk about the baddies in this, dude? Like, it's like the author of Goku Rakugai, Yuto Sano, knows exactly my type of woman. You know, because firstly, Miss Tao is, you know, like there's this panel where she's like waking up and Alma's just like, hey, give me your laundry so that I can do it. And her hair's messy. She's lighting a cigarette. You know, she always looks like she's got resting bitch face. And so she, and despite the fact that she's really super nice, so like, you know, she's always looks like tired or angry or whatever, and just like, I'm like, this is the kind of woman I like, with a mysterious past, falling apart, resting bitch face, chain smoker. I mean, like, dude, like, we'll
chain smoker's
you
on that list. Hold on a second,
dear
chain smoker,
dear viewers, dear listeners, Bar likes broken, messed up mommies.
Yeah,
if that's you. Leave a comment.
If that's you, leave a comment.
Don't leave a comment.
Don't leave a comment.
Send a message directly to Twitter.
Oh, God.
At the battle phase.
Yeah, at the battle phase. Subscribe.
Check out his OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Damn it. No, but
coming soon.
Just to clarify, let me amend something in there. The chain smoking is not on that list. But the chain smoking attitude is, you know, where it's like you need some kind of like destructive coping mechanism. Personally, if it's something other than like smoking or drugs, I'm all for it. Wait, but you know,
they need a destructive tendency.
You heard
I heard that.
He was like, "No, no, no." Then I'm all for it. Which one?
No, so like it's kind of like a like you know like I feel like she's doing it because there's like a memory or something that's just like that heavy, right? That she's like,
I need spoilers.
Yeah, okay. Like I figured. I mean, like this is what you do as an author. You give them a little tick, and you make it like a part of their character, and like eventually you kind of like reveal, well, this is where this came from, right? Like for example, Aki and Chainsaw Man smoking because Himeno made him smoke, right?
That shit.
Yeah, it's a thing, right? Like you, as an author, as an artist, you kind of like think about your character. You give them like little things that they do that make them unique, or like that make the reader kind of wonder. Is like, okay, well, that's just a part of their character, and then you smack them when you add a lot of meaning to it, right? It's wonderful. So in my head, I'm like, she's doing it because she's kind of carrying a heavy burden, and I love a woman who is being crushed to death by a heavy burden. like, what secrets do you carry, you beautiful piece of woman? What is it? Tell me. Like, you know, I just...
Ladies, if you're a tall mummy,
God,
that likes to step on...
Ladies, if you've got the burden of the world on your shoulders, leave a comment below.
You got barred over here.
If you are haunted by your past, just... I don't know how we got on this topic, but okay. Like, anyway.
You... You pretty much set up the table.
I did. That was my bad. But additionally, like, we're talking about the girl who works with like the husky guy. She's also excellently designed. And Nei, kind of like with this hybrid like Chinese kipao type dress, but it's also like it's got like shorts like Spanx underneath it or something. So it's also like very active wear designed. And
she's also wearing
samurai
ninja
shorts.
Shoes. She's got like the ninja,
and ninja
tabi.
Shoes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like this is just like peak character design in my head. I'm like, dude, this
is everything seems so detailed.
Yeah.
And if you even look at it, at first I was like, is this like a 3D that he just put it on here? But nope, this is actual art.
Yeah.
All the way
through. There's also this really, really well done manga panel I liked where it shows her holding the card on the left, on the right side of it, move to the left. You see the card in her hand taking up the next section directly on top of it as if it was on top of the manga panel altogether. And it was that was in the early chapters. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Again, the art's really good. The story's really not there yet for me.
The story doesn't move very fast. And that I feel like that's kind of the problem. But it is.
This might be a slow burner for 10 chapters.
Right. How many chapters is it?
It actually gets better.
It's about 60 chapters right now, I think.
20
or 60. It can't be. Is it really? Like, because it's got three volumes. Is 20?
Give me a second. I'll get right back to
okay.
you. Because I just finished that Nui that is 10 episodes that you told me.
Right.
But Goku is short. I'm amazed that you were not even caught up.
Well, I was trying to catch up with all the other ones that we were going to discuss today. But anyway, so art really amazing. We have a little bit of lore. The world looks really lived in. Looks.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel that way? To me, not yet.
Streets are pretty empty all the time, actually, now I think about it.
I feel like we're building up to some kind of big payoff on mysteries that we're kind of slowly adding together, right? And I hope that the payoff is good, is all I can say.
I also like the way that the maga appear on the world.
Me too. Always showing up, holding signs in my park. It's great.
I don't know if great's the right answer there.
My God, we're going to get so demonetized.
Yeah. Which is...
Which is the sick thing. Like, hey, we hire people to get rid of the mago.
This
here.
Is going
to
be a nightmare to end, and I
swear. Yeah.
Oh. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Wait, so hold on a second.
Dummy mummies.
When did this story start then?
When did it start?
If it's only 20 chapters, when did it start?
It starts getting good.
When did the first chapter come out? Yeah.
2024 in April.
So then they knew MAGA was already a terrible thing to call it.
Well, the thing is, this is coming from Japan, though. So, I mean, like, is it like common knowledge over there?
Fixed it. They just wanted the MAGA to be the bad guys, which, I mean, the understandable, but like, they could have fixed it.
Oh, my God.
Is it an acronym for something? I can't remember.
It isn't. No, it's just what they're called.
They could have changed it.
It's just called Maga.
Call them wraiths, man. That's what they are.
Wraiths, Akumas. Yeah. You know, like...
They could have called them Akumas.
Or something, yeah.
Right? I think they just like the idea, the wordplay of Maga.
This
is so wonderful.
This is going to have people going like, people that hate the mangas, they're going to go like, this is our best manga. Let's watch it.
And it's got the...
Oh, hail the anime.
It's got the chain-smoking Dami Mommy fighting the magas.
I think I'd read that.
Ladies, he's confirming Dami Mommies are his thing.
Confirming.
Anyways.
Wait, hold on. Is there a furry old woman in this too? Can we like hit all of his things today?
Oh, God damn it.
So we got a bat?
Fun fact.
I thought that the only fairy was the husky and the tiger kid.
Okay, I got to add something here.
Up to chapter 10.
Firstly, in the first chapter, the first couple of pages, we have a politician trying to keep pictures of his activities at certain locales.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it gets dark like right. that too.
And it looked like he was having... relations with a dog, but then I realized, oh, there's furries in this manga. So
exactly.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Okay, I thought about that. I'm like, what is Bard too? Making me read? And I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
It's slightly like, less oh. weird.
I was like, thank God. I was like, I thought this was going to go to weird places.
It did already.
It did.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be like all about that. And I was like, oh, please, no. But like, thankfully, I was like, oh, there's furries. Oh, thank God.
But, the first time I've been thankful that furries
getting
were
all about this that.
Time.
Next thing we'll be seeing on the shadow message from Sacro. I'm not reading this.
Just kidding to my furry fans out there. We're all cool.
No. I mean, how dark they got. Yeah. Like, nope.
Hey, man.
So
it's fine.
A couple of things here. Gosh, what was I going to say about... So, did we have any closing thoughts on Goku Rakugai? Me, personally, my thoughts are I hope that the mysteries really start building steam. And I wanted to bring up that third chapter where it looks like they just submitted sketches.
Oh, those look great.
The sketch chapters where it was just like wireframes?
Wait, what?
Hey!
Did you guys not see that?
I didn't.
Like, oh my gosh. Anyway, so we'll skip that for now. We'll discuss it later. But oh, well, one more thing. We were talking about like older like furry, but it just a fun aside. You know, like this is just a little anecdote. Yesterday, I went to watch the Dandadan premiere in theaters with friends. And it was funny because when we were leaving, we were going to go get something to eat. And one of my friends goes like, yeah, the grandma, that was definitely made with a certain type of person in mind. You know, like we MILFs are not enough. We need like chain smoking trash TV watching GILFs now. And I was like, God.
Dude, she's
why
the
is
best.
She not old?
She's the best looking.
I don't understand that. What is happening here? Another discussion for another time.
Another discussion for another time. But anyway, closing thoughts on Goku Rakugai.
None.
Read past chapter 10. Read past chapter 10.
There's only 10 more. Maybe I will, actually.
Utsu is Bard's waifu. If you match Utsu's energy,
is she the,
reach up to Bard.
Is she the furry gilf? I don't understand. Like, what are you doing?
No. Just read up to chapter 20. Utsu is your waifu. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. But we'll get to it. Anyway.
Yay!
Moving on to the final manga that we read for this episode. We read Nue's Exorcist. Let's see. So Nue's Exorcist is kind of like the more generic one, I feel. Like it was, you know, like there's a spirit who's been sealed away. And then there's a boy, a little bit of a nice guy. Who goes to school in the school where she's been sealed away, which I found to be weird that she was sealed away in a school.
Why not? Everything is special school in these things.
Yeah, so one day he kind of discovers where she's been sealed, and she decides, I am going to make you kind of like my protege of sorts. You know, I am a very powerful spirit. I will grant you powers, and you will become strong. And so she's a little bit of a mentor, a little bit of a protege, a little bit of a, oh gosh, like a patron to this kid who up until now seemed to be a little cowardly. But he seems to be, or the intention seems to be, that he's going to come out of his shell, but the stronger he becomes. So he starts working with her in clearing out evil spirits. They apparently live in a town where it just has a high density of evil spirits. And she grants him power so that he can fight them and basically protect people from them. It's made very clear very early on that these spirits do physical damage to the world around them. But it also happens that the next day, all of that damage is gone. It turns out there's an army of exorcists whose entire job is to make it so that when these spirits attack, nobody is aware that they were present, and nobody remembers what happened. And all of the damage and all of the injuries that happened while those spirits were around is just erased from existence. Yeah, that's kind of what's going on in Nue's exorcist. These exorcists eventually do show up, and it kind of turns into a thing where we learn that Nue is a spirit that is very well known among the exorcist circles, and that some of them want their power for themselves. Apparently, she is just that level of spirit that it's really important that they obtain her power, that she grants it to them. However, Nue seems to be a little bit of a free spirit. She kind of decides what she wants to do. And on top of that, she seems to be a little bit of an otaku. She seems to really enjoy manga and video games and anime and stuff, which I find so weird because she's like trapped in this room. But this room that she's been sealed away in for 60 years looks exactly like my office. You know, so it's just like, oh my god.
So is she reading stuff from 60 years ago then, or is she somehow getting new stuff in there?
I kind of wonder. No, there's new stuff because I remember there was one chapter where they mentioned, like, oh, you have the new Pokemon card expansion. They didn't call it Pokemon, but it was Pokemon, right? I was like, oh, okay, interesting. So just kind of like, that's the basic gist of it. As far as the characters go, the main character is a kid named Gakuro. He seems to kind of like not want to get himself involved in conflict. He's very conflict avoidant. And it's explained that this is because when he was a kid, he saw his dad be killed by a demon. And so he's got kind of like that really, I don't like conflict. I want to avoid it. I don't like being in like really heavy situations. He's a little bit socially awkward. But he also seems to have kind of like that shonen protagonist, I want to do the right thing and I want to be strong mentality. Nue, on the other hand, like I mentioned, she's a little bit of an otaku.
Very much an otaku.
And she is so pretty. Like, I love her design. She is like just probably the best part of this manga is Nue herself.
She's the only part of this manga I know. Because, spoiler, I didn't finish it. My bad.
Yeah. So now Gamma and I will know, but, like, Sekiro did not finish it.
She's pretty.
That's it. But that being said, I have to, you know, come clean on this one. This is my third time trying to read past the third chapter on Nue's Exorcist. Because I find the story a little weird. Like, it's almost like it's trying to reference some inside jokes, and I just don't understand what it's trying to reference. Because there's a little bit of awkwardness in some of the pages, some of the panels, and I don't understand where it's coming from. And the best way that I can explain it is like it's probably being referential to something that is very common in Japan where this was made. But, like, we're only getting one side of that joke. So it's almost like, I don't get it. What's happening? That being said, within the first chapters, it's your typical, like... So within the first couple of chapters of this one, I feel like it's a very Bleach-type story where, you know, you suddenly have these powers to fight these things that not everyone can see and can sometimes do damage to the world around you. But it all seems to be localized around this school. So that is my impression on Nue's Exorcist. I've had a hard time getting past chapter 3 several times, but I finally made it to chapter 10. And, you know, like, this one's wildly popular, so I don't understand, you know, because I'm like, am I missing something? Like, is there a reason why it's not clicking with me as much as other people?
It's probably literally just her design, to be honest with you.
I love her design. Like, yeah, that's like the
for a lot of like people, all it takes is a good design for them to follow a story all the way through. They don't care about anything else.
I see.
Let me give it to you on a different perspective, Bart. Uh-huh. See if maybe now it sticks with you. Aono exorcist, but on Kikyo's point of view, when he gets to see demons since he was a kid, but now he gets extra powers to fight them.
Kikyo?
Yeah, from Inuyasha? Yeah.
From Inuyasha?
No. Aono exorcist, blue exorcist, uh-huh. The brother with the glasses.
The brother with the glasses was not Kikyo. His name was... Oh, gosh. Now I can't remember his name. What was his name?
What his name
it's
was?
It's Rin and Yukio. Yukio is his name.
Yukio?
Yeah, Yukio. So, like, it's Blue Exorcist, but, like, from Yukio's point of view, I don't see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you remember, Yukio could see demons from since he was a kid. Mm. This guy could see spirits and demons since chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
But he's powerless.
Right.
But he gets that power boost from a demon. Or whatever the hell she is. Because from what we saw, it's like...
She's a spirit.
Huge amalgamation of spirits and then becomes a hot chick.
Always.
I like that she's a hot chick, firstly. But secondly, I don't know, man. I'm still not vibing with it. You know, like, maybe it's because I don't like the main character. I think Gakuro's kind of a pushover, you know? And...
Well, I mostly was skimming through it. I was like, okay, this is interesting. Okay. Oh, look, another person. We introduce an exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like her style, though, because it reminds me of... Netflix Nessua, which is a Chinese movie.
So I was gonna say, like, you know who she reminded me of, like the new Exorcist, because her power seems to be kicking, is Lena Lee from Dick Rayman. You guys ever see Dick Rayman?
Yes.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so like that's kind of who she reminded me of. Don't get me wrong, like the character designs are all really strong. I think like in this manga, like all of the characters look really good.
Which, speaking of Dandadan.
Mm-hmm.
Think of her as the ballerina.
No, I mean, I get it. Like, there's, like, these parallels, right? But, like, the thing is, Dandadan, like, made me like and care for the characters. I don't have any reason to like and care for these. And, you know, here's the thing. I feel like Nue is a little bit like a Gojo Satoru character, where she is the strongest, and that means something, you know? And I feel like the world kind of, like, is aware of her and they want to use her. But, like, because she's so strong, she won't let herself be used by anybody. And I think that's cool. But the thing is, I don't know, like, Jujutsu Kaisen also highlight that thing where they just, like, added all this weight and that meaning to that with the world around and with the lore. Yeah. And maybe it's because this is set strictly in a high school that I feel like it's almost like it's almost like your slice of life with like a little bit of a supernatural stapled on top of it. Yeah. But like it wasn't like fully worked into the design. So it's a little disjointed. Maybe that's me, you know? So like, I don't know.
Well, I gotta admit, I wasn't feeling the manga either.
Okay.
I'm trying to sell it to you, but I wasn't.
I was going to say section, like, I like that you tried to play the devil's advocate. Don't get me wrong. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
But like it is kind of like a, I don't know. I wasn't feeling it, dude. Like, I don't know why. And maybe it's, you know what? I think I know why. It's because the main character is so passive. I feel like in order for a main character to be an interesting main character, he has to be the one who takes charge of his own destiny. And this guy, by and large, felt like he was not doing that. For me, at least, it felt like, you know, like, for example, Nue told him, okay, you know, like, I'm going to give you power. And I think that if his life hadn't been in danger at the time, he wouldn't have taken it. And
he asked for the power to help somebody else.
Right. But then, like, if you'll notice, every chapter that follows, he's just going with the flow, you know? Like,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like...
Even with the exorcist chick.
Yeah.
And even when he's getting picked on by... this girl,
right?
Which I'm like, who is she?
Right. So
why is she in his classroom?
And like everything that he does, you know, it's never like because he wants to. Like, so for example, towards the later chapters, there's the second exorcist that we meet, and her entire plan is I'm gonna form a contract with Nue, and I'm gonna replace you. And so, like, that's what she wants to do. And he's like, okay. And he doesn't stand up. He doesn't say anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he does, but, like, it's almost, like, under different circumstances. But, like, basically, Nue says, hey, you know what? Why don't you try to make friends with her? Why don't you take her out to lunch? And that's what he does. He does it because Nue asked it of him. And there was that whenever he formed the occult club with the second exorcist girl that we met, like, the first one, the one that does the kicking. You know, she's like, oh, let's form an occult club. And Nue says, that sounds like a good idea. You should form an occult club with her. And I'm like, okay, so she's calling.
So he's getting pushed around by them.
Right. So he's calling the shots, but like, it's like, she's calling the shots and he's not standing up for him. So he's just doing what people tell him.
It's like, are you really even the main character?
Maybe. And I mean, honestly, like, that might be it. It might be the fact that this kind of builds to like this huge crescendo where this guy finally takes full control over his life. And if that's the case, I would love to see it. I hope it happens within the next 5 chapters, because I swear to you, man, like 10 chapters in, I'm like, bro, stand up for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
I have no thoughts about this because I didn't finish it, but I'm looking at the things and I like their art.
The art is
Kazusa Suo, whatever, blonde girl. I love that. Love her look. Very cool. Nue, she's something. I love it. Very cool. Would easily pick her in a dating sim.
100%. Yes.
Gakuro looks cool in this picture. I don't know. He's got fire coming out of his eye. He looks kind of like Bakugo, actually.
A little bit.
Bakugo, Gakuro
sounds kind of the same.
Yeah, it might be the same concept. So all the women are older than him that he's interested in. So that's... You could relate to that, Bard, right?
Right.
But you got to remember, though, Bakugo has a mouth and he has his own will compared to this guy.
Yo, who's that? Chitatsu... I'm Tomasode.
Chitatsu.
Yeah, so like, no... At the final chapter, chapter 10, the one that we were going to read, right? Mm-hmm. Chapter 10 is a beach chapter, right? And it
felt like a filler to me.
No, all so beach episodes are fillers.
Here's the thing. And, you know, like, firstly, he didn't want to go to the beach. And then Nui was like, oh, you should go to the beach. He's like, okay, I guess I'll go to the beach. So I'm like, dude, come on. Firstly, all the girls are going, man. You should just want to go. You know what I mean? But, like, at the same time, here's something that I'm kind of getting from this manga. We really don't have any male characters that are important to the plot other than Gakuro. Because, like, for example, so, like, we have, what's her name? Shiroha is the other one. And then the third girl, whose name escapes me, is the other one after that.
But you're saying girls.
Yeah.
You're saying guy. You say guys. And then you're like, well, this girl. I'm like,
no.
Dude.
So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm like, there's no guys who are relevant to the story. It's all girls, right? And Gakuro. Yeah. So I'm feeling like this is almost like a pseudo harem.
It is very much a harem, it looks like a DxD type thing.
Like a school DxD type thing. Yeah, except, you know, like, what's the guy from high school DxD? Issei? I felt like Issei had more control of his agency, you know what I mean?
Isn't like, his agency just getting laid?
Well, I mean...
I hope he has control
anyway,
of that.
Kota Kawai, the author for Nue's Exorcist seems to have like just like this talent for drawing, you know, like really interesting characters. The powers all look really cool. The creature design was really good. The thing is, I'm like, okay, maybe it's just the story is not clicking with me. It feels like it's really slow. It feels like our main character is just kind of being dragged along. And that's just like not vibing with me. I would love to see.
The part that sucks though is that even Dandadan goes to school and you're still attracted to the story.
Mm.
And this is in school and you're like... Eh.
Well, how many episodes are in this school in Dandadan?
A lot of episodes are actually not in school in Dandadan. Seikaru's kind of hitting a point here. Like, a lot of it happens in, like, locations where, like, aliens exist. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't school episodes. There are quite a few. But yeah, like usually it's like, oh, well, where's the ghost? The ghost is here. Okay. You know, so like a lot of the drama might start in school, but it doesn't always stay there.
All three of the picks we had today are all have schools involved in some way or another.
Yeah. Which weirded me out from Ultimate Exorcist Kyoshi, because I really didn't think we were going to go there.
Yeah, I thought the show started with him like graduating from school. So I'm like, oh, cool. Nope.
Yeah, like
we're not going to school now.
Hey, now that you've graduated exorcist school, go to regular school, Kiyoshi. And it's like, okay,
find a girlfriend, like, bro.
Only two chapters. I don't know.
Yeah, there's
a school involved.
Like, hey, I highly recommend that you that you read the rest of it, Gamma, because it is good.
There is no school in Goku Kakarei or whatever it's called.
Goku Rakugai? No, there isn't.
Will there be later, Gamma?
Every time I read that manga, though, I want to eat some Chinese food.
Is there a school, though? I assume there's no school.
Love this character. Love that design.
Angle. This show is definitely what I think it is. Cool.
It is, dude. You know, what can I say? This is very much a harem with like some supernatural elements attached to it. It feels to me that way. I would love to be proven wrong, so I'm gonna give it like the benefit of the doubt and read up to chapter 20. It's a struggle, but like, you know, here's the thing. It's an ongoing manga. It's really loved by people. I would love to know why that is. So yeah, that's basically where I'm at. Did we have any other thoughts regarding Nue's Exorcist?
I don't know if I'm going to actually read it, but I love the character designs. So I might draw a few of them, but I'm not going to read it.
Like I said, it really didn't get my attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And usually I'm the guy that will give a manga a shot.
Same. I'm the guy who will give a manga a shot. You know, I oftentimes go back to check on manga that I didn't finish just to kind of see, you know, like, what else happens? You know, like, does it get better? Like, what's going on? But yeah, no. Like this one just like, I don't know, dude. Like, I've tried. I really have. It just was not clicking with me. Just to do a really fun thing here at the end, I want to see if we want to give our votes to which one was the best. For me, it was, here's my ranking. Definitely Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi number one, Goku Rakugai number two, Nue's Exorcist number three.
Mine's the same, actually. Only because I didn't finish Nue, so I can't really fairly place it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what you guys have talked about, I'm probably going to follow that one.
Okay. Based on 10 chapters only, my rating is the same as y'all.
Okay.
So past 10 chapters, Goku Raguran, the Ultimate Exorcist, and then the last one.
Can you really rate the Ultimate Exorcist as number two if you've only read that many chapters?
Here's the other thing is like, we can't really rate Ultimate Exorcist as anything more than 10 chapters because it has 11. It feels like it would be unfair. But that being said, I feel like
I just based that based on comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Made me laugh.
Oh,
it was very funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. So I guess unanimously today, our list is definitely, we recommend Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi. Go out and read it. It's on Shonen Jump. It's wonderful. Goku Rakugai, it's pretty to look at. It's got some mystery going on in it. Could be cool. I really hope it gets really, really good. Miss Tao, wonderful. Love her. You know, wish she would call me.
She might.
And lastly, Nue's Exorcist. God, I want this one to be good. I want to like this one so much, and I'm so mad that it's proving to be such a struggle. So yeah,
just do what I do. Just don't read it.
Man, the fact that you even giving it another chance and still doesn't stick.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's weird because I keep trying and it's just not doing it. I don't know.
If I have to read more than 10 chapters or something before I'm into it, I usually don't read past that.
Right.
Five chapters, it's good. I'll continue reading. But yeah.
I feel like out of all three of us, though, Sekiro, I feel like you're the most critical of stories. Like, you demand a lot from them. And that's understandable, you know, because you don't want a story to waste your time.
Yeah.
And I would hate it if a story, you know, like, it was really, really good and then, you know, just collapsed at the end. You know, like, I would hate that.
I'm so.
Oh, you mean like Jujutsu Kaisen?
Oh, Jujutsu Kaisen's so good, though. What are you talking about?
I'm so worried for you guys because I feel like there's no way One Piece can end where you're going to be happy with the ending and it's going to crush you guys. It's going to be like Game of Thrones all over again. You're going to be like, the journey was great, but it's like, but was it really?
I don't know, man. Like, Oda so far hasn't missed. Like, every time that we're like, he's in over his head now, right? He just somehow always does good. The man doesn't miss.
Oda is saying that this is a prelude, though.
Yeah, he's saying it's a prelude. And I was like, dog, to what? Like, how is this?
I don't think he has a plan, like most manga artists. I don't think he has a plan. He's just lucky his fan base is so strong that they just won't let him fail.
I've heard rumors that he intends to do a space manga next. And I'm like, what would that even look like? My God. So,
I mean, I could see it expanding the One Piece universe.
Yeah, yeah. But so with that being said, this is the end of our episode. Be sure to visit us on X at The Battle Phase and let us know what you thought of our opinions. Have you read Ultimate Exorcist Kyoshi, Nuez Exorcist, Goku Rakugai? What are your thoughts? Which one was your favorite? What would your ranking be? Am I 100% wrong for thinking Nuez Exorcist is very okay? Or, like, explain it to me. What am I missing? Please, I want to like this one.
The kids these days call it mid.
Mid.
I mean, all three of us agreed that it was meh.
Yeah, and especially because, you know, like, I'm like, I know how we are. Normally, if there's, like, a really good waifu, we're like, hey, we stand for this manga. But this time, she is perfect. And I'm like, I can't read more than 10 chapters of this, dog. What's happening?
She kind of looks like the girl from Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? No, I'm looking
Hestia?
At her now. Yeah, Hestia. Same hairstyle-ish.
Like older Hestia, yeah. Like, you know, like Hestia is like younger teen, but like, or like, you know, 15, 16 years old, but this one's like older, like maybe like in her 20s.
Yeah, I got through the first season of that, and then I went to rewatch it to rewatch all four seasons and could not.
Oh, shit.
But until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. These have been the boys.
Catch you guys later.
Remember, ladies, if you're broken, leave a like and a comment.
Adios!
Bye.
Later!